As I began to work through this, you know, I don't know if I shared it or not, but actually, you know, these series of messages I've been working on for, well, really quite a long time. It's something that, you know, I pray about. I love the book of Joshua. I don't know if I told you that last week or not. And I've been able to preach occasionally out of Joshua, but I always had in mind to preach a sermon series out of Joshua. And I would get started in this, and then, you know, I don't know, wasn't right, and time wasn't right. It would get put on the shelf, but it's been kind of in the works since I've been here. So, you know, 2.5 years or whatever. And as these sermons are sitting right now, you know, there's 9 of them all together. And they've just been sitting there, you know, locked away in my computer, waiting for God to say, okay, and now's maybe the time to begin to preach them. And I don't really know why now is the time. But as I began to work on these things, and as I began to read that, you know, I don't know how many times I've read the book of Joshua, and it never fails to impact me in new ways, but in powerful ways. And a few weeks ago, as I was, you know, updating, because like I said, these have been in the shelf, you know, for quite a while, and so the things that I was putting together earlier really might get going on in our church might not be relevant to this day, so I pulled them back out and began to work at it again. And, you know, as I began to read through chapter 2 of Joshua, there's a phrase, just a small 3-word phrase that just grabbed a hold of me and just got my attention, and I really couldn't let it go, and I seen it there in verse 9, and then I seen it again in verse 11, and then it was just like all wrapped up in verse 24 as well. And the phrase is simply this: melting in fear. And I thought to myself, do I know what it's like to melt in fear? And I'm asking you today, do you know what it's like to melt in fear? I mean, I've been scared to death a few times in my life. I admit that, you know, but probably the closest I've ever come to just melting in fear is when I've had this terrible nightmare. I don't know. I don't have a lot of dreams, a lot of nightmares, but man, I've had a couple of nightmares that really caused me to melt in fear. And I don't know about you, but this is how mine kind of took place. Someone was chasing me. And man, I was just really scared, you know, and I was trying desperately, you know, to get away from them. But my legs, they felt like they were cinder blocks, you know, that they just wouldn't move. I mean, have you ever had that dream? It's like I was melting in fear. And I realize today that, you know, fear is one of the most powerful emotions that we can ever experience. And sometimes it can move us to great action, to powerful action. But other times, a lot of times, it freezes us. It debilitates us. And I think to myself that, well, and I'm thinking it out loud to you guys as well today, that that's part of what's happening to these people here in this story. You see, fear is a pretty common feature that runs through the story of God's people trying to move out of slavery and cross over the Jordan River into the promised land. I mean, do you guys remember the story of Moses? Remember how God's people were enslaved in Egypt, and God, in the most wondrous, miraculous of power, He led them out of slavery through the leadership of the prophet Moses. Remember that story of the great Exodus? And in the midst of that great Exodus, He promised them a land where they could be successful. He promised them a land where they could grow. He promised them this place where they could prosper. And so they're released, you know, from slavery, and they go into the desert in the Sinai Peninsula, and it just takes them 2 short years to travel right to the edge of that promised land. But fear overtook them, and they refused to cross over and enter into what God had so wonderfully promised them, the blessing that God had in store for them. So you remember Moses, you know, he sent spies to scope out that new place. Do you remember that story? And they came back and they said this. Man, we can't go in there. We can't claim that land because there's giants in there. They'll squash us if we go in there. So in their fear, they refused to allow God's leading, and they found themselves, as I talked about last week, roaming around in the hot desert for the next 38 years. Until attrition had really consumed those who were melting in fear. Well, when we come to Joshua chapter 2, we're there again. Once again, the nation of Israel is on the threshold of claiming God's promise. And remember, God made that wonderful observation to Joshua when he said, Moses is dead. Remember, we talked about that last week. Moses is dead. Joshua was the new leader. But one more time, history repeating itself, we see that fear, melting in fear, was the driving factor in the lives of these people. But God had clearly said to them, now listen to this, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged, because I will be with you through the whole way. I will make your way for you. Think about that. Can I read that to you guys again? That inspires me every time I read that. Don't be afraid, God says. Don't be discouraged, God says. Why? Because I will be with you through the whole thing. God says, you don't have to do much of anything. I will make your way for you. Man, there's some days where I wake up in the morning, I'm melting in fear, and God says, I will make your way for you. Just get up and do it. And I bet a lot of times I'm just like these Israelites that say, oh yeah, sure, right? My fear battles with my faith. And I gotta make a choice somewhere along the line. What battle is gonna win? Is it gonna be my fear or is it gonna be my faith in the God that says, I will make a way for you? That's the good news for us, because God will make a way. Remember that hymn that God will make a way when what? There seems to be no way. I mean, do we sing those songs just because they sound good and we can put in the music, or do we sing those songs because we believe it? I, for one, want to believe that I sing those songs because I believe it, not because it's a good tune. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Loved ones, for them and for us, that's quite a promise. And it seems like it pretty much ought to deal with the fear, right? It does, but with them, and sometimes with us, it's just not the case. You see, they were still terrified of what it would mean for them to cross over from the comfort of what they had known, even though it was in an oven, a blast furnace of a desert oven, and into the potential of God's promise for them. So Joshua, taking a page from Moses' school of leadership training, sent out spies again to scope out the land, right? And then that's when we come to this fascinating story of chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles and you just want to be there, go right ahead. Joshua chapter 2, we're going to work through it today and see if maybe how you can follow along and see if you can bring some of these scriptures to life. Check me to see if what I'm telling you is true. Now there's some pretty interesting and pretty troubling things about this story. First, and here's the one that nags at my my Nazarene theology, I guess I could say, is why would these two spies choose to go hang out in a house of a prostitute, right? That's the first one I have to get past. I mean, it doesn't really seem like a great strategy, does it? I mean, can you imagine how we'd react if we sent, you know, we took a big collection to send missionaries to a foreign country. We scripted save and send, and then they write back and say, we're having a fun time, but we're living in the red light district. But we're going to figure out how to open this place up to the church. Well, to just put it softly, we might not be too thrilled about that. She's not very Nazarene, you know. But if you think about it, if we get past that initial shock, the spies understood something. They understood that the best chance of not being discovered was to show up in her neighborhood, right? I mean, think about this. Strangers were always coming and going from her house. That was nothing new. And what about this? I mean, this is something that we really got to think about and puzzle over and work out. Why does Rahab occupy such a high-profile place? I mean, not just in the storyteller's mind, but throughout Scripture as well. I mean, we can't just blow past that. We got to think about that. All she did, really, was lie to the Secret Service, right? So she's telling them a lie. She's a prostitute. But she holds this high-profile place. Do you realize that Rahab is included in the family line of Jesus Christ in Matthew's gospel? Do you understand that today? And she's also listed in Hebrews 11, you know, the hall of faith, the biblical hall of faith. And in that, right there, she's held up as a model of our faith. And James, the brother of Jesus, lists her in his letter as an example of someone who is justified by your righteous deeds. And I think this morning, how can that be? Is it to remind us that God really can use anyone who will turn to Him in faith? Aha. Whatever words we use, or questions that we ask, see, it does seem clear that Rahab was turning to God in faith and in trust. You see, the most profound confession of faith in this passage comes from her lips to God's ears. Now, those are interesting questions, right, for us to face this morning, and we could take up a lot of time wondering about them. But for today, let's not get too caught up on the moral questions here, because I don't want us to miss the truth of the text. So I want you to keep this in mind. Now listen to this. There's a big difference between what the Bible reports and what it recommends. Got to get that. Right now, maybe you should write that down. Maybe I should have put it on a slide. But there's a big difference between what the Bible reports and what it recommends. See, we need as Christians, part of being Christ-like disciples, part of being discipled and being disciplers, that's what we really need to get this, is that we need to be able to discern that difference as we study Scripture. So as we study Scriptures, we need to grow in discipleship, in faith, and knowledge of the Word and of the Lord and of His character, so that we can be able to discern the difference between what the Bible reports and what the Bible recommends. That's just important stuff for us to get today. Now, indeed, I think all these are interesting questions, but there's something more interesting, I think, going on here. As I believe it is more vital to the text. And it has to do with that issue of fear that for so long had kept God's people from taking hold of the promise that He had made to them. The Israelites were afraid of what it would mean for them to cross over. See? That's why they sent the spies in there once again. They were living on the assumption that the people in the land were fearless. See? They were living under the assumption that, in order for them to cross over into the new land, the people living in there now would have to be overwhelmed by Israel's strength and by Israel's power. But the truth was, they didn't have much of either. They didn't have much strength or much power. But listen to what they discovered through the testimony of Rahab. We are the ones who are melting in fear. You know, can you say that with me? We are the ones who are melting in fear. God's people thought they were the ones melting in fear. They thought that these guys over on the other side of the river were courageous and powerful. They were giants. They were undefeatable. But through her testimony, we find out that they were scared to death. So now listen to what happened. How can this, in just one moment, change the people's attitude, just turn things around, that they can go from melting in fear to having strength or victory in their strength? The spies go back and they report to Joshua, hey, guess what? Those guys over there are afraid of us. Can you believe it? This isn't going to be as hard as we thought it was going to be because their hearts are melting in fear because of us. Hey, they know we're out here, but their hearts are melting in fear. Hey, they know what our intentions are. Their hearts are melting in fear. They are terrified of us. Their hearts are melting in fear. Now think about this, all right? The Israelites had lived for over 40 years under the idea that they were the ones who were melting in fear. Turns out the people who lived in the promised land were the ones melting in fear. But now, I want to ask you a question. Isn't that the way it is with fear? I mean, isn't that really how it is? So often our fears are so much bigger than the reality of the situation. Now, I guess we're here at this spot. We got to figure out where do we go from here? I know you hope I have that figured out already. But I guess what we need to figure out is why the Canaanites were afraid of Israel. I guess that's really the next step, right? Why were they so afraid? Was it because Israel had an awesome army? They really didn't have one. Was it because Israel was particularly intimidating to them? So what is that? Well, I believe this. I believe it's because they heard and had seen the power and might of Israel's God. They had seen the power, and they heard of the power, and they witnessed the might, and they heard of the might of Israel's God. They heard the story about how God had dried up the Red Sea so Israel could pass over. Right? They heard the story about how they got away from Pharaoh's army. They heard about how God had in power delivered them from all the enemies, their enemies during their time they wandered in the wilderness. And now we see Rahab's confession of faith. The Lord, your God, is God in heaven above and on earth below. Man, a pagan prostitute making a great confession from her lips to God's ear. The Lord your God is God in heaven above and below on the earth. Don't you just see the irony in all that? I mean, seriously, Rahab the prostitute understood far more about the power of Israel's God than Israel did. Israel thought they were weak and unable to cross over into God's promises. But Rahab and the people of Canaan understood Israel, the God of Israel was powerful and awesome, not because of their own, but because of Yahweh. See, the God who went before them is a lot more powerful than the one that trails behind the God. See, your God, who goes ahead of you, is a lot more powerful than the you that is following the God, following Jesus Christ. Man, there's the secret. I think this story, man, it's perfect for us today. It provides a wonderful picture into our own lives. I mean, we've talked about this so many times, you know, over the past couple of years. God has offered us, I've been telling you, God has offered us, I've been insisting to you and been insisting to myself that God has offered us a wonderful promise of a new land. And I'm not talking about a new building somewhere or a couple more acres to add to our property or to open up a building downtown. I'm talking about spiritual promised land. I think God has promised us a new land of freedom. I believe God has promised us a new land of joy. That's for me and for you, Christian. I believe that God has promised us a new land of peace. Yet so many of us have failed to cross over into this new land that God wants to give us. We find ourselves stuck in the past, allowing our future to be defined by the knowledge of where we've been before. I also believe that a large part of why we fail to cross over into God's new future is because we're afraid. Fear keeps us from crossing over. And yet, like Israel, most of our fear comes out of false assumptions we make about ourselves and about the world, and about God. We assume that we have to be strong enough to break the barriers that lie before us. We assume that we just have to be good. We just think that we have to be good enough to overcome the obstacles between us and God's offer of a new land. Somehow we have to straighten that out. Somehow we need to gain the perspective that Rahab had, that if we could just begin to see things from God's perspective, I think that if we could do that, then we could realize the barriers and the obstacles that hold us back are melting in fear before us. The reason is not because of us. It's not because we are strong, or it's not because we are able. It's because God is able. The barriers are falling down before us because of the mighty power of our God, for He goes before us to prepare the way. You know, in Wesleyan theology, that's called prevenient grace, or the grace that goes before. Therefore, we can move forward through prevenient grace. We can cross over in strength and courage, in the strength and the courage of the Lord. That's why the Lord with a straight face could say to these otherwise pitiful people, be strong and courageous. See, He wasn't telling them what they already were. See, God was challenging them to live out what He was calling them to be. He's not saying to them, work hard and screw up your courage for this big deal. But He's saying this simply. You can be fearless as you cross over into this thing, for I am in front of you. I've gone before you. I'm preparing the way for you. And the truth is, the obstacles and the barriers that you've been so scared of have actually melting in fear right before your very eyes. Loved ones, I want to tell you something today. I want to ask you, I guess it's a better way to say this. I want to ask you to face this today. I want to ask you to look deep in this today is, what is the fear that has you by the throat and keeps you from crossing over from the past and into God's new future for you? What are you afraid of? What's holding you back today? What are the barriers that you see that just seems to be totally insurmountable? What are they today? Can you see today that because God is calling you forward, those obstacles and barriers are melting away in front of you? Now, if you could trust God with the past and move into the future, do you see what I said? If you could just trust God with that, just take that past, right? And I think in a moment we're going to open these altars and if you can just take that past, whatever it is, and if you can just wad it up, and if you can just put it right here on the altar and give it over to God, you'll move from that past, that things that have you changed, and you'll discover the future. You'll discover that the things that you're afraid of, they just won't seem so big any longer. If you just move away from that past, trust it to God, and move into the future, all that stuff that bound you up won't seem so powerful any longer. Sometimes all those fears come because the world so regularly tells us that we're crazy to believe in God. Well, maybe we are. But my faith tells me that God is real. And my faith tells me that God loves me. And my faith tells me that there wasn't one person ever born into this world that God didn't love. And my faith tells me that no matter how crazy it seems to the world around them, that I continue to stand up and proclaim Jesus as my Lord. You see, the world tells us that if we truly surrender our lives to Christ, see, our lives would be over. So they say things like this, you know, oh, if you're an evangelical Christian because of whatever you believe, you don't have any influence in the world. You've lost your credibility. Or it tells us that we're just stupid to follow God. The world tells us that it's silly to think that you can cross over really into anything new. That's what the world wants you to believe. That you're stuck. That things aren't going to get any better. But they might get a little worse. But you know what? Here's the thing I want you to share with you today. Is that if you experience that the world is against you as a Christian, if that's the source of your fear, you know, of fully giving your life over to Jesus Christ, remember that the world isn't against you because the world isn't against you just because they believe you are wrong. If that's the reason that you're just simply wrong, that, you know, that's why they're against you, then they could ignore you because of your ignorance, because you're wrong. But the world is against you because they're so terrified that you are right. See? They're melting in fear in the presence of an almighty God. Because like the people of Jericho, they knew the power of Israel's God. And I gotta believe that the deniers out there, they know the power of Jesus. They're afraid. that you're right. And so they attack you. Trying to shut you down. Tell you that you're crazy to believe in Jesus. But the truth is you don't have anything to fear. Because the God who calls you has already gone ahead preparing the way. So could the praise team come up? We do have a song to sing. You're going to hear in a minute. As they come forward, I'll finish this up. We're going to sing a song. And you know what? Right now, I'm just opening the altars right now. That you know what? If there's something from your past that's keeping you from moving into a fantastic future, just come on forward, man, and just give it over here to Jesus. Trust Him with your past, right? And we'll pray with you. And we can step in. We can begin today stepping out of the past, the wreck of the past, into the promise of the future. So if it means crossing, if crossing over means coming to grips with that past, if it means confessing the sins of the past, if it means seeking forgiveness from another person, then don't let that fear keep you from coming forward. Because I want to tell you something today. God has already gone before you, and if the God who's gone before you, if that's what that God is calling you to do, then He's already prepared the way. And those obstacles are melting in fear before you. If crossing over means letting go of some sort of security blanket, whatever that could mean, maybe this blanket that you've just been hiding under for years and years and years, you know what? Don't be afraid to throw it off today. Let it go today. Because if you do that, you will see that God is enabling you to move on into something much better. And you won't believe it, though, until you experience it. So, Dave, put that last slide up there. Be strong and take courage, for the Lord your God is with you. Now remember today, God's not asking you to cross over alone. God's already ahead of you. So be strong and very courageous as you step forward into a fantastic future. Let's sing.